And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Joining us on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, it's been a while, but we're back on track with this edition of the program.
Well, we are. I took a little sabbatical, went back to the homeland, the Ozarks of Missouri, and did the usual redneck things there. And anyway, it was a good time to kind of be away from the markets because metals markets, for the most part, went down with one exception.
Yep, one exception. We're going to talk about that exception. And you're right, boy, a lot has happened in the market since our last program. Equity market in general broadsided with a steep sell-off only to snap back. The miners, though, many commodity prices still under pressure. And that one area, though, that really shines out for you, we're going to focus on that today, and that is uranium. You've seen opportunity in this area of the market for some time, Mickey. What's behind this bullish view?
Well, it's the basic supply-demand fundamentals in the mid to long term make me a uranium bull. And we've talked about this quite extensively over the years, but we last reviewed uranium in conjunction with our commodities and resources review in early January. If you remember, last December, I published a piece called The Supply-Demand Fundamentals of Uranium. Mm-hmm. And then also in our talk in early January, I gave a sort of a 2014 outlook. Since then, we've had a very lackluster market, a supply surplus, kept the spot price in Q1 of 2014 right at $35 a pound. The longer-term contract price remained at 50. Since then, there was a capitulation of the spot price from April to early August, and basically went down to $28 a pound,
mm-hmm.
which would be a 25% decrease or so. It was pretty beaten up market. At that time, the term price fell to a low of $44 a pound. However, in the past 3 months, we've seen an exponential rise in the spot price. Went from $28.50 on July 31st, closed Friday at $41.13. That's a 44% jump, including $4.50 of that over the past week. However, the long-term contract price remains depressed at $45 a pound.
Okay, what's behind that? The other price, though, snapping back like that? I mean, that's pretty big gain over a short period of time.
Well, that was driven by some news out of Japan the last week that there would be restarts. But there's a number of reasons for the pricing increase of 44% since late August, and that would be we've seen throughout the year, because of the low prices and lack of demand, supply destruction, including development projects, production coming off, delays at Cigar Lake,
mm-hmm.
Led to low prices. But as always, the cure for low prices is low prices. We've now had over the since mid to late summer, we've had European Union and U.S. sanctions on Russia. Russia's a big player in the uranium market. We've had some other issues going on in government policy. Litigation against the DOE surplus sales is ongoing. The utilities have started to come in and buy again, although mm-hmm. that's been somewhat discretionary, but that has been a boost in demand and prices.
It's great that we're talking about this today, though, Mickey, because I believe, you mentioned, you kind of indicated earlier that the stock prices of the uranium companies certainly have not kept pace with what we've been seeing. But over the past couple of days, I think they've come back rather smartly, haven't they?
And that's another thing we wanted to get into was the performance of the equities. And they've not performed in conjunction with the spot price as per usual, even though the spot price is only 20 to 25% at best of the annual market, uranium equities In Q1 of this year, they front ran the commodity price, so there was quite a buzz on the street. We saw uranium stocks, especially the small producers to the major producers, the major integrated uranium companies such as Cameco, performed quite boisterously despite a flat uranium price. In Q2, when the spot price cratered, equities cratered along with it, and the equities cratered probably at a greater percentage than the spot price did. By mid-Q3, when the spot price bottomed and started to rise, the equities continued to lag and were still down badly. And then lately, and that would be really over the last week, with this news of a couple of Japanese restarts in 2015, we don't know exactly when, but the spot price has gone exponential. The equities have bottomed, and they've shown some quite boisterous moves over the last week.
Now, when we've talked about uranium in the past, Mickey, you view nuclear power as a great alternative for combating greenhouse gases and whatnot. But at the same time, you've often brought up the issue of whether or not there's a political will to go down this road with nuclear power. Where do you think things sit right now?
Well, I think there has to be a political will to go down this road. If this climate change idea, or whatever you want to, philosophy, let's call it, and it's become increasingly politicized, as we've talked about in our extensive segments on carbon over the last few months, then if that is the agenda the world is going to take, then the only solution for long-term base load electrical demand is fission energy, and that, i.e., is nuclear power. And so it is incumbent, with increasing demand for electricity throughout the world, 25% of the world being still non-electrified, meaning people go to bed in the dark and they get up when it gets light in the morning, then nuclear energy is our only viable alternative to greenhouse emitting carbon burning.
We have a lot of nuclear reactors under construction, I think a fair number on the drawing boards as well. Who's turning into the real world leader in going this route? I know that China, I believe, has dozens that it's either going to be starting very soon or starting in the not too distant future. Is China taking over the reins of a leader in this area?
Well, in terms of number of new power plants being built, China is the biggest one, but there's also significant number of plants in India. We see Russia becoming a bigger player on all fronts in nuclear energy. The U.S. has four new reactors in the construction and startup mode right now. Japan remains committed to nuclear technology. We will see how many reactors eventually come back online there. I don't think you'll see new build out there. South Korea is become a leader in both nuclear technology and new plants being built. So Eastern Europe remains committed. So it's kind of a worldwide phenomena, although certainly China is a leader, but China is the main instance where it is becoming electrified. China and India are increasingly becoming electrified, and both those countries have made a decision to be very supportive of nuclear energy in that realm.
Okay, now you touched on this earlier, I believe, Mickey, with all of the plants that are being constructed and considered, inventory levels, supply levels, is there enough of this stuff coming onto the market to meet demand? And it's kind of a tough topic to really get a firm handle on, isn't it? Because the uranium spot market certainly is not transparent.
Well, nothing in the uranium market is very transparent. Even the long-term contracts are probably less transparent than a somewhat opaque spot market. But it's a complicated equation. It appears certainly that we are well supplied at the present time, even given the recent rise in spot price. There's a lot more to uranium than just mining uranium ore. At that point, it has to be processed into what's called yellowcake, which is a mining and milling and concentrating process. Then you have the conversion market, which is converted to uranium hexafluoride, which is a gas, which is then enriched from the uranium-235 natural content of 0.7% up to 3.5% to 4% to make light-enriched uranium fuel, and then it has to be fabricated, the light-enriched uranium, into fuel pellets to be delivered to a nuclear reactor. So it's a very complicated process with multiple steps and multiple industries involved, and it is opaque generally from start to finish.
Okay, put on your investing hat for us, Mickey. Is this a good time to putting fresh money to work in this sector of the market?
Well, I certainly think so. You wish you would have done it a week ago, but
yeah.
But uranium equities still remain very depressed, well off their pre-Fukushima highs. You know, what we really need, even though the spot market is a very minor part of the total uranium mined equation, uranium mined and sold every year, it still really much determines the price of the equities of the uranium miners. So, yes, I would submit that this is a good time to wade into the production end of the business. That, again, the uranium equities are quite complicated. Mm-hmm. You have the majors, the mid-tiers, the small producers, which
right.
is kind of my sweet spot, especially in the USA. Then you have the advanced explorers, developers, and then you have the speculative stocks, and those would be the ones poking around the edges of the Athabasca Basin at times. So there's a variety of ways to play this market. Once again, my sweet spot has been for some time the small U.S. domestic producers, especially the ISR producers, and then I also play around with some of the speculative stocks in the Athabasca Basin, but that is purely what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the big discovery of that was made in the Athabasca, probably nearly 2 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
And that continues to grow, but that stock, talk about a stock that is, in my opinion, overvalued purely on speculation. We won't name them, but
mm-hmm.
We all know who they are,
yep.
And that's driven a bunch of other speculative juniors in the basin, but that is always a very high-risk, high-reward profile. You know, I would submit that there will not be a new mine in that southwest area of the Athabasca Basin for at least 15 years.
Okay, perhaps a good way to wrap it up, Mickey. We're going to do it all over again in a couple of weeks. What are we going to set our sights on for that week?
Well, we're going to talk about the fall in overall in commodities, but especially the precious metals over the last, 6 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
As predicted, gold has once again tested and continues to test the price boundaries below $1,200. I think it went to $1,140 over the last past week or so. We'll review the reasons for that and give some predictions as to where precious metals will go in the short term.
Okay, sounds good, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.